You remember we had talked about the Antichrist, and the Antichrist is one of two things. The Antichrist either is someone who denies the divinity of Christ, in other words, denies that Jesus was God, or he's someone who denies that Christ came in the flesh, in other words, denies that Jesus was a human being. And we talked about those who deny the deity of Christ, and we talked about the evidences of his Godhood, if you want to refer to it that way, the proof that he was indeed and is still God. And then last week we talked a little bit about the fall of man, and we talked about how many people made statements about him being a man, people that he had been in contact with. And we want to continue on that line this morning. We're going to title our lesson this morning, The Word Became Flesh. The Word became flesh. John chapter 1 and verses 1 and then also verse 14, we see this idea brought forward. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. But then in verse 14, it tells us a little bit more about that Word. It says in verse 14, the Word was made flesh. In other words, it became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So John describes Jesus as having been the Word, who was with God and was God from the beginning, even before the beginning of time, as we know it, always and forever. And then he goes on to explain that this Jesus, this Son of God, this deity, this God himself became a man. He became flesh. Notice what it says. The Word was made flesh. The Bible says the Word became flesh. It doesn't say it appeared to be flesh, or it took on the appearance of a man. It was made flesh. He actually became flesh and blood, a human being. And there's a great deal of importance to that. We're going to see this morning how essential to our salvation that very fact is. We saw last week that hundreds or even thousands of people believed Jesus was human. What did Jesus do that made these people believe he was human? Now, generally, we can't tell if someone is a human being. What traits does a human being have that lets somebody know whether it's a person or not, whether that is a human or not? What did Jesus do? Then we have our lead statement, LS there. Like other humans, Jesus, and we're going to look now at 10 things, that 10 ways that Jesus was just like every other human. Like other humans, Jesus, first of all, was born. He was born. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 18 says, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Matthew says, this is the way his birth went. Well, that's the way humans enter the world, isn't it? Now, I don't know, maybe some of you closer children that you find babies under cabbage patches or that storage spring or something, but that's foolishness. We know that's not really true. The way that babies come into this world is they're born. They have to go through the birth process. Now, there are different ways. It could be a natural birth or it could be a cesarean. But there are different ways in that, but they have to be born. They have to grow inside a mother for months before they're prepared to come into this world. That's what happened that way. In Matthew 2, verses 1 through 4, says, now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, Joseph became wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born? Yes, everybody knew he was going to be born. It was a natural thing. And then when Herod was troubled about this verse 4, he gathered all the chief priests and scribes and people together. He demanded of them where Christ should be born. So the Jews understood that the Christ, their Messiah, was going to come as a human being, and he was going to be born. Herod asked the why then, where is the Christ supposed to be born? And of course they looked it up and found out it was supposed to be born in Bethlehem, which Jesus was. But secondly, we see that like other humans, Jesus grew. You know, Adam was kind of a unique case. God made him a full-grown man. He made her a full-grown woman. But ever since those two, everyone after they were born had to grow up to become an adult. It's the way everyone lives life. And one of the proofs of being a living being and being a human is it's growth. Luke chapter 2 and verse 40, speaking of Jesus, Luke writes, as a child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. He grew, just like other children did. It's hard for us sometimes to imagine Jesus as a child. He grew up. That does, you know, they didn't have disposable diapers back then, but I'm sure they had some sort of a diaper that Mary had, maybe Joseph, I don't know if men changed diapers back then or not, but Mary changed, I'm sure, a bunch of those diapers. Had to wash, had to give him back, had to feed, had to do all those things to give to in the baby. Had to teach him how to count and how to talk and all of those things. And teaching those things, just like mothers and fathers today do, even the child they grew. And then Luke 2:52 also says that Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. He increased in stature. That means he got bigger. He grew. No doubt about it. He grew just like everyone else. And then we see, third, like other humans, Jesus ate and drank. You know, we all have to eat and drink to live. And we can go for, I think they said about 7 days, give or take a day, depending on the condition we start at, without water before we die. We can go approximately a month to a month and a half, maybe at the outmost two, if somebody has a box stored up, maybe without food before we die. We have to eat, we have to drink, we have to have those things. Well, Jesus did too. Mark 2:16 says that when the scribes and Pharisees saw him eat with publicans and sinners, they said unto his disciples, how is it that he eateth and drinketh with publicans and sinners? He ate and drank food in front of him and drank in front of everybody. Everybody saw it. He ate and drank it. And then Luke 24, verses 41 through 43 also, says that while they yet believed not for joy and wonder, he said unto them, have you heard anything? They thought he was a ghost. They thought he was a spirit, in other words. And he asked them, do you have any meat? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and a honeycomb, and he took it and did eat before them. His spirits don't need to eat. If Jesus was just appearing to be a man, he wouldn't have needed to eat. He had to eat. Just like everyone else. So we see also that he rested and slept just like everyone else. Now, if he was a spirit, and we know he had the power of God, but in the human form, he still had to have rest and sleep. He couldn't go 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. He had to have rest and sleep. We see this in Matthew chapter 8, verses 24 and 25. It says, and behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves. But he, that's Jesus, was asleep. And the disciples came to him and woke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. He was taking a nap. He was tired. He was asleep. And then John chapter 4 and verse 6. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being weary with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the 6th hour. They've been walking a long way, and he was tired. He was weary. He sat down to rest. He also, in the second essence, wanted to get him some water, showing he was thirsty. He needed that water that we talked about just a moment ago. But we see that yes, indeed, he had to rest and sleep. God doesn't need to rest and sleep, and Jesus doesn't need to now in his heavenly form. But when he took on the human body, he was changed, you might say, by all of the same struggles that us all of us as human beings have. He had the same passion that he had to control, the same emotions that he had to control. He had the same desires, the same hunger, the same thirst, the same exhaustion that we sometimes face as human beings. How important that is to us. Then we see him, like other humans, Jesus sweated. We have this picture of Jesus. We think of him, how here he is. He's a perfect human being. But you know, he got sweaty and dirty. He needed to take a bath this time. Luke chapter 22 and verse 44, in the garden before his crucifixion, says that being in his agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling to the ground. He was sweating, and in that sweat was mixed blood. Luke chapter 7 and verse 44, when the sinful woman was washing his feet with her tears and wiping them with her hair, as the man who had invited Jesus to his house, almost this fellow knew what kind of woman this is. He wouldn't let her touch it. And of course Jesus knew what was in his heart. He turned to the woman and said unto Simon, seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she washed my feet. You know, when you travel in sandals down a dirt road, your feet are going to get sweaty and dirty and dusty. And they're going to need to be washed. And that's what they had to walk on back then. They had sandals and they had dirt roads. Jesus walked to this fellow's house, and when he came in, fellow did not bring a place to wash his feet. Did not bring water. That's the host was the host's job. The host was supposed to have water available, and most of the time, particularly in the wealthy home, a servant to provide that task of washing the feet of the people that came into the home. He said, you didn't give me water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with tears. She washed them. They needed to be washed. They were dirty. Jesus, as a man, got dirty, and he got sweaty. And at that time, when he needed that to be washed away. And then sixth, we see that like other humans, Jesus cried. I know we think it's being strong not to cry nowadays, and we don't want to ever admit that we're weak enough to cry, especially the men. But the fact of the matter is, as human beings, there are going to be times when we're going to cry. And Jesus, as a human being, cried. It says in Luke chapter 19 and verse 41, and when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it. He wept. He cried. Real tears. Real sorrow over the condition of the city of Jerusalem. And then we see also in John chapter 11 and verse 35, shortest verse in the English Bible, and yet so very meaningful, just two words. And yet here we see, they teach so much. Jesus wept. Those two words tell us so much about this man. They in fact confirm for us that he was a man. A spirit can't cry. It doesn't have eyes. It doesn't have tear ducts to cry with. It doesn't have a voice box to make the groanings and the moanings and the sounds and the whimpers and the, you know, the sounds that someone makes when they cry, when they weep. Spirit can't do that. Jesus actually was much blood to be experienced. Then we see seven. Like other humans, Jesus was touched by others and touched others. You know, that's one of the ways we know the difference. We know the difference between a spirit and a human being. If you can touch it, you can touch the spirit. It's shine. It's like the air. You can't, you know, there's nothing there. There's no substance. But a human being, we shake hands every time we get. Jesus touched him with them. And that's how those people, they knew he was a man, because he could touch them, he could shake their hand, he could pat them on the shoulder, he could give them a hug, he could do all of these things Jesus could do. Mark chapter 8, 22 and 23 says that he cometh to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man unto him, and besought him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes, he put his hands on him. He asked him what he saw, if he saw aught. So, you know, we don't want to think about that. Jesus spit on the guy. Well, that's something the Spirit can't do. And it's something we, you know, we don't need to get in the habit of doing. But Jesus did that in order to heal this man. And it's a miraculous healing there for him to spit on his eyes and to help him see. But, he held the man, took the man by the head. Let a blind man out to the crowd of men and then heal him. Then we see in Luke 24:39-40, Jesus trying to prove this after his resurrection, trying to prove to the disciples that he wasn't a ghost. He was the real thing. He had come back from the dead in a body. He says, "Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me." Touch me, in other words. "And see, for a spirit has not flesh and bones, as ye see me have." And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And he said, "Test me, I'm a real, I got flesh and bones, just like you do. I'm a human being." And that was even after his death and resurrection. He was still a human being at that point. Now he was changed as when he ascended up to heaven. In his current heavenly form. And we don't know what that form is. Paul tells us we'll know what kind of body that is when he comes back, and we'll have a body like his then. It's not the same as earthly bodies that get old, and you have arthritis, and have aches and pains, headaches, and tummy troubles, and nothing like that. But Jesus did live his life in this kind of a body. He probably had headaches. He sneezed. He coughed. The man had the hiccups. All of those things that we have, that we go through, he did that. What's more, number 8, we see that like other humans, Jesus was tempted with fleshly desires. Matthew 4, verses 2 and 3, the devil tempted him and said that when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward had hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, "If thou be the Son of God, command these stones be made bread." He tempted him. He said, "I know you're hungry." Well, how was he hungry? Because he was a man. He was a spirit. He wasn't just hungry. He said, "Since you're hungry, fulfill your lust. I know you want to eat something. Do it. Do it." See, the devil always gets you. Tries to get you when you're weak. Or sometimes he tries to get you when you think you're strong, too. But he always tries to get you when you're weak. See, he won't let you a week on the path without trying to get you. And he thought, "Well, Jesus, then he's not eating anything for 40 days. I bet you he's hungry. I'm going to get him." And so the devil went after him with that. And then Hebrews 4, 14, 15. "So seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmity, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin." You ever been tempted to overindulge yourself? Jesus was too. Ever been tempted with other physical sins, sexual sins, demons? Jesus was tempted that way. The devil tempted Jesus in every way, just like you tempt God. All of those same types of things that we have to struggle with, Jesus had to struggle with those. The only difference is he overcame them. He never allowed Satan to win those battles. But imagine, when he was on that cross and the people were saying, "Oh, come on down from there." Don't you think his pride tempted him to come down and show them that he could do it? But he did. There had to have been a temptation. He overcame that temptation and died on the cross where he was supposed to. But then we see, tonight, like other humans, Jesus bled. We saw already that he spread his drops of blood. But we see also in John 19:34-35, that one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. And he that saw it bare record, and his record is true, and he knoweth that he saith true, that you might believe. John says, I was there, I saw it, I know what I'm talking about. It burst into the sides, the blood and water came out. Now, John tells this for a different reason. That's the thing, sometimes God's word is so powerful that even though it's there for a specific purpose, it teaches many other things as well. In this particular case, the idea that John is trying to teach is that Jesus fulfilled the prophecy, no bones shall be broken in him. Look at the passage. That's what John is trying to get. That they came and he was already dead, so they didn't break his bones. They stabbed him in the side of the spear when the blood water came out, so that no bones was broken. But that teaches us also many other things, and among them the fact that he died. He had blood in his body, just like other human beings do. Just the same. And then we see in Matthew 27, verses 25 and 26, then answered all the people and said, his blood be on us and on our children. Then released he Barabbas unto them, and when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. This would have been of no value for them to say his blood be on us if he didn't have his blood. How could a spirit bleed? Don't say for a quote from Shakespeare, trick us, do we not bleed? Sure, you both. We believe we're human beings. Jesus was serious. He stuck him with a knife or something. He bled. He did when they stuck him with the spear. He bled when they nailed the nails in his hand. He bled when they scourged him. He bled when they put that crown of thorns and pressed it into his hand. He bled. Like a real human being, because he was a real human being. Most important of all, as a thing that is so essential for our salvation, is the fact that if he wasn't a human, then he couldn't have done the following. Like other humans, Jesus died. See, if you're not a living human being, you can't die. If he was a spirit, what spirit can't die? If he only appeared to be a human, and it only appeared to die, then he didn't really die. And where are we? All of Christianity is built upon the foundation of Christ's death. If he didn't die, then it's all vain, it's all useless, it's all worthless, it's a waste of your time. But like other human beings, he didn't die. Now he didn't die like other human beings. Very few have died like Jesus died. He died a very violent death, but he did die. Matthew 27 and verse 50. That Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. In other words, his spirit left his body. That's what it is. As the body without the spirit is dead. That's what James said. The body without a spirit is dead. So when Jesus yielded up the ghost, when his spirit left that body, he died. Then Mark chapter 15, 43 and 45. The Joseph, 43 through 45, the Joseph of Arimathea, an honorable counselor, which also waited for the kingdom of God, came and went in boldly unto Pilate, and craved the body of Jesus. And Pilate marveled if he were already dead. And calling unto him the centurion, he asked him whether he had been any while dead. And when he knew it of the centurion, he gave the body to Joseph. Pilate was shocked that he had died so quick, but he's dead. The centurion confirmed that he's dead. They stabbed him in the side, punctured his heart with a spear, and the blood and water had come out. He was dead. Wasn't breathing. Heart wasn't beating. He was dead. He was a human being. Yeah. These and many other passages that we didn't even begin to scratch the surface. Of all the passages that testify to the humanity of Christ. You know, we don't often think about the common everyday things Christ did. You know, we have a great desire, and it's a good desire. We want to think about his deity. We want to think about him as the Son of God. He's God. And we focus sometimes so much on that that we forget he was a man. He sweated. He got dirty and he hit the mat. He had to sleep, he had to eat, he had to go to the bathroom. All of the same things we do. He was a man, a human being. We need never lose sight of that. We don't often think about those everyday things that Christ is of assured. Our salvation depends just as much on his humanity as it does on his deity. Both of those things, his humanity and his deity, are equally important to our salvation. He had to come and fulfill the law. And he couldn't have done that if he wasn't a man. Because the law was written for men. Human. Wasn't written for spirits, but wasn't written for angels. He couldn't have come in the form of an angel and kept the law and had that and would encounter it. He had to come as a man. And then he had to die the death. The death on the cross. You're here this morning. Perhaps you as a human being haven't accepted what Jesus did for you. Oh, you've heard about it, but you've never really believed it enough to obey. There's no better time than now. You're here and you're a Christian, and perhaps you've not dwelt on Christ. You haven't kept your mind on Him. You haven't thought about Him. Maybe you haven't shared His story with others. There are so many people out there that are asking us the song that tell me the story of Jesus. There's so many out there that need to hear. And it's our responsibility to take it to them. If you're here this morning and you have any need to respond to the invitation, I ask that you do first stand.